to be on an airplane early in the morning while the sun is just starting to come up over the horizon. When you're that high up, you have this amazing view, and as the sky lights up with the very first shafts of sunlight, and then they sparkle like stars off the hull of the airplane. It's beautiful. But when you look down below out the window, you can see that all the street lights are still on. The earth is still dark. Even though the sun is actually up high overhead where you are, it's still twilight on the ground. You can already see the sunlight. But just because of the way the earth is curved, it hasn't yet actually reached the ground. But you know it will happen at any moment. It's a great image for Memorial Sunday. Today is the last Sunday of the church calendar year, just before we start Advent next week. And it's the day when we celebrate and look forward to the coming reign of the kingdom of God. In Jesus Christ, the work of salvation has already been accomplished. Jesus spent his earthly life teaching people how to live, and then he surrendered himself to death on the cross. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead and then came back to speak with his disciples. After 40 days, he ascended into heaven, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to live within the disciples so that God's presence will be with them wherever they go. Jesus promised his followers that in time, he will come again to complete the coming of God's kingdom here on earth. Someday, God will raise up everyone we love who has died to receive new life. And there will be no more mourning or crying or pain or death anymore, but we'll live in joy and fullness with everything made right, the way that God has always intended for it to be. Already, Jesus has accomplished the victory over death by being the first human ever to be raised from the dead. Jesus has given us a little sneak peek of what lies ahead. But we're not quite there yet. If life was a novel, you could say that the climax of the plot has already happened. And right now, we're living in the denouement, those final few chapters where all the loose ends get tied up. But the story's not quite over yet. We know what the ending will be. The good guys have won. We can see that coming. But we'll still be reading those last few chapters because the story's not quite over yet. Theologians call this the now but not yet kingdom of God. Jesus has already completed his work. The victory is won. But the end of the story isn't quite over. We know that the hero will ride in on a white horse at the end, but not until the last few plot lines have been resolved. To be honest, I'm not always sure how comforting all this theology actually is to people who are grieving right now, though. It's all well and good to think of Jesus coming back someday in the future, but many of us are hurting right now, today. So where is God right now for us? Sometimes we go through events in life that are just so devastatingly painful, it can feel like God is just absent. Like God's not even there at all, and maybe never was. Even people of tremendous faith can feel this way sometimes. Just look at Job. His story is a whole book of the Old Testament, 42 chapters long. The Bible calls Job a righteous man, but then God takes away everything good in his life. His children are killed, all of his property is destroyed, and his body becomes infected with painful and embarrassing diseases. Job is left sitting in a pile of trash and rubble, scratching his sores with a broken shard of pottery, while his wife and his friends tell him that he must have done something really, really bad in order to deserve all this. They manage to humiliate Job even farther by blaming him for his losses. In his anguish, Job cries out to God for chapter after chapter, lamenting his grief and begging God to tell him what bad thing he's done wrong in order to deserve all of this punishment. Why has God caused him to suffer this way? And for 38 chapters, God remains silent. Finally, God does speak. But he still never gives Job an answer to the question why. God basically just says, "I'm God. Some things aren't meant for humans to understand." At the very end of the book, though, God does at least stand up to Job's friends. God says to them in chapter 42, "I'm angry with you because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." God tells the friends to go back to Job and ask him to make an offering and pray on their behalf. What did Job say about God that was right? Job basically sits in a pile of rubble for 38 chapters, accusing God of destroying his life. And God says, "This is the right thing to say." What do we do with that? If this seems kind of weird to you, that's okay. It's weird to me too. The only thing I'm left with at the end of all that is that maybe God is saying it's okay for Job to lament what he's lost. God is giving permission for Job to be angry and to be hurting and to be confused. God is giving permission for Job to grieve. And so God tells us it's okay to grieve. There's nothing wrong with feeling angry or sad or confused or hurt. It's okay to feel this way. I think that's what God is saying to Job and his friends. Some things in life really seriously suck. And when you're in that spot, it doesn't make you a bad person. And it doesn't mean that you've done some sort of sinful thing to bring that upon yourself. Sometimes it's completely appropriate to just sit in your pile of rubble and be angry with God. One of my favorite passages of scripture is Psalm 88. Usually when we think about the Psalms, we think of these beautiful images of nature or the goodness and faithfulness of God. Or sometimes we might think about Psalms where the writer is going through something hard and then cries out to God, and God steps in and rescues them from all of their troubles. But not in Psalm 88. Let me read a few verses so you can see what I mean here. "I cry out to you for help, O Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend." Wow. It literally ends with, "The darkness is my closest friend." There's no happy rescue from God in this psalm. It just sits in the pile of rubble. But here's the remarkable thing about it. This psalm is actually included in the Bible, within the canon of Scripture. Think of all the millions of people who must have read these words over thousands and thousands of years. For some people, this psalm has resonated with exactly where they feel like their lives are at. I believe that God has allowed this psalm to be part of our Bible because sometimes when we're deep in grief, it might feel like God is absent. And God tells us that it's okay to feel that way. Doesn't mean God isn't there. Maybe, like Job, God is still present, even when all we can see is darkness. With passages of scripture like Job and like Psalm 88, God gives us permission to lament, to be angry, to be confused, even when that means being angry with God. God is strong enough to handle our pain. Feelings of anger and sadness and even despair are no stranger to God, because Jesus felt all of these things during his earthly life. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus felt betrayed by his friends when they couldn't do their one little job of staying awake overnight with him to pray. On the cross, Jesus cried out the words from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you go on to read the whole psalm, it's a pretty dark lament. Jesus experienced the reality of suffering and pain and even death. God knows exactly how horrible this stuff is, because God has actually experienced it. I believe that God knows what it feels like to sit in that pile of ash and rubble. When we're hurting, God understands our pain. God feels our pain. And even when we're sitting in that place of darkness, God is sitting there with us. Whether we can see God or not, whether we can feel God's presence or not, God is still there. There's nothing we can do to ever push God away. Even our tears, even our angry laments can't scare God off. God is still with us and will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what. There have been times in my life when I haven't felt God's presence. There have definitely been times when I felt angry with God. Times when everybody else around me seemed to be having these wonderful experiences of God and I haven't. And there have been days in my life when I've connected with Psalm 88 and the darkness seemed to be my closest friend. Sometimes it felt like all I could do was just to keep on putting one foot in front of the other and just make it through to the next day. But there's another psalm that's also been true for me. And it says, God's mercies are new every morning. After the darkness, the sun does rise again. Even though it might feel like night's going to last forever, eventually the earth turns and the first shafts of sunlight start to poke out above the horizon. You might not know it yet, but high overhead, the sunlight is already breaking up over the tops of the clouds. And soon the earth will turn a little bit more, and those rays of light will touch the ground, and then they'll shine on you. The dawn is already beginning, even if you can't see it quite yet. Amen.